Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. My prayer may should have been for my iPad to continue working. We'll see. Okay. So in today's readings, from my view anyway, we hear two lessons that seemingly are unrelated, but hopefully we'll make some sense out of them and see that indeed they may be related, if not actually dependent on each other. Paul speaks to us as being children of light. Now, as you may know, John is somewhat famous for using light and dark in his writings to contrast good and evil. But today we have Paul doing the same in what is actually one of his more apocalyptic writings. He warns us to stay awake and be sober, for none of us know when that now 2,000-year-old promise is to be fulfilled. The analogy he uses is a thief coming under the cloak of darkness. How many times have you heard something go bump in the night and after returning to bed, struggle to go back to sleep, wondering what might be lurking just beyond the curtain of darkness? In my own life, I relate to a time many years ago as a young nurse working in cardiovascular surgery. The operating room was not staffed at night, so therefore we took call, sleeping with a pager on the nightstand. The level of readiness to participate in surgery was directly related to where you were in your sleep cycle. I considered myself somewhat fortunate because I had a 15-minute drive down Highway 25 to process what I needed to do when I got to the hospital to get my act together, as it were. Those who live closer to the hospital didn't have that luxury. I will tell you, when that thing went off at 1 a.m., it was just like a thief in the night, robbing me of sleep and forcing me to react when I probably was less than ideally prepared. But I'm not sure that this writing is as apocalyptic as maybe I have described it to be. We'll talk more on that in just a second. The gospel reading is the parable of the talents. We have this king who gives a sizable amount of money to his slaves while he is away to do with what they will. Two of them invest the money and reap reward from the king, while the third protects what's been given him and returns the same to the king. We heard the king's response in the reading. He gave the third slave's money away to the one who in the king's eyes was responsible with what he'd been entrusted, and threw the slave out where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. Capitalism at its finest. I want to take a minute to look at these readings not as apocalyptic stories, but rather as dialogue pertinent to our common life in the here and now. As we sit here in this nice building, in a fairly affluent community, all pretty much at peace with one another, for the most part. Being a child of the light for us comes fairly easily. We will speak to one another, share food and conversation, and in a few minutes actually touch each other in Christ's name. That's pretty cool. But what if we found ourselves living, say, 500 to 600 miles north of here, say in a town named Ferguson? How might that change our view of today's readings? For one, the majority in this church, based on race, would see light as protecting what they have, making sure their talents, if you will, are safe. If by chance your skin is darker than, let's say mine, how do you live in the light? How do you, as a black American citizen, have your voice heard, your wailing at perceived injustices noticed by those who are in power? Now, there is a body of persons in panel to make the legal determination of what happened on that unfortunate day that now seems so long ago. But as a people, we have to look at the occurrence, weigh the reports that we get, and then somehow seek the answers that allow us to move forward. The legal issues will be decided in the courts. But as children of the light, we must come together in community so that we may truly live in peace, to love and serve the Lord.